Welcome to AA for Teachers. In this episode, Amber and Amber will be looking at teacher self-reflection, student self-reflection, and they will also segue into how research studies are being used in the education field. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to AA for Teachers. This is Amber B. and Amber O., and we are so happy that you are listening to our second podcast. We do have a blog with resources, reflections, and to connect easier with you. Today, we're going to be talking about self-reflection and how we use that as a practice in our daily lives and how to make the most of our summer.
Hi guys, this is Amber O. So today we're starting off, as we do, with a quote that kind of summarizes the theme of our podcast. And today we chose the quote, "The bad news is that time flies. The good news is you're the pilot." And that was originally, I think, attributed to Michael Altshuler. And we thought it was a really good quote because, well, time flies, it's summer. I already feel like it's half over, which makes me cringe a little bit. But we are so pressed for time in our careers as teachers, once the school year starts and we have all this stuff happening, that we know it's incredibly important to self-reflect, but a lot of times it's what kind of gets pushed off to the side, or we just don't have time, or we're burnt out. And we really feel that as we were discussing this topic, that it's incredibly important that we find the time. And we're going to look at some different ideas and different questions and give you guys some resources to go and look at different questions to help streamline that practice and make it more of a daily occurrence in your life. So the school year is coming up, which I don't even like to say out loud, but here I said it. It is. It's going to come whether we like it or not.
Unfortunately.
And I've been sitting, I just started reading a new book, and I'll give a shout out to Katie Martin. She is a phenomenal writer, and her book is called Learning-Centered Innovation. And I'm only on about the second chapter, third chapter, but already I'm being inspired by her words and her thoughts. And something that had jumped out to me is she, as an instructional coach, and she helps with administrators, principals, and so on. One question that she asks those people as she goes into these schools to try to help them is, are your systems designed for people to comply and implement your programs and policies, or are your systems designed to empower people to learn, improve, and innovate? And it really jumped out to me on the pages, and I thought, this is great for schools, you know, sure. However, I can use this for myself, right? I can look at myself and say, do I just want the kids to comply? Do I just want them to jump through my hoops, finish the project, and that's it? They've done compliance. Or do I want them to be on the path to discovery, to be innovating, to be learning, to be excited? And I look at my practice and I think, is there things that I'm doing over and over again just because I've always done it, but it doesn't really serve myself, it doesn't really serve my students, and is it time to scrap some of those ideas or change those ideas? So that's kind of the question I want to post out to Amber as we're discussing, is do you see that practice happening, and what are your thoughts on it?
I do see that happening. I see it happening with myself. I see it happening with other teachers within all grade levels.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think sometimes we get comfortable, and from year to year, as you start teaching, you know, the more years you have in, you find out what works well for you and for your class and for how your personality interacts with the students, but are we being intentional with what we're doing?
Right.
And I think my problem is actually sometimes is I try to change too many things.
Right.
And I think sometimes we have to go little by little. So what are two things that aren't working? Maybe what are two things, or even do one, that mm-hmm. I can change and implement as the year goes on? Because structure for students, as well as the teacher, it's important for them to know what's coming, how you want it done. I know that I'm at middle school, and sometimes it's hard for them. They're going to different teachers all day long, right. And one teacher's expectations are going to be different than the teacher they have the following period.
Sure.
And sometimes they'll come to me and they'll ask me a question halfway through the year, and it's not their fault, but sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, we've been here, you know, for so many months. How do you not know this?
Right.
But I can't imagine going through 9 periods right now, and I do feel like the students have a lot on their plate, more than what I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's confusing
right.
for them. So I really think that we need to take a good look over the summer at our teaching and decide, what is the end goal mm-hmm. for my students? What really do I want them to know? Are the tools that I'm using for this lesson most effective? Are they time efficient? And am I reaching all students? And then how do I actually know that?
Right. I think those are all really good questions to be thinking about as you're planning and as we're going through the summer, and you're thinking ahead of, what am I going to do? What am I going to keep? And I really like how you said about that comfort level, and that really jumped out to me as you were speaking. And I think that hits the nail on the head. Like, the teachers that, like I said, we're busy and we're crazy, and there's so many things we're juggling, that sometimes that comfort level is just that security blanket. And you're yeah. like, okay, I know how to do this. I know how to do this well. I don't have to plan for it, because
you might already have the materials. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And so it's not going to cost me anything. It's not going to take away from the time, and I can throw it together in 30 seconds and be ready to go. But you still need to back up and say, why am I doing this? Does it serve a purpose? Or am I just doing it to fill, you know, a 40-minute block of time because I've always done it? Right. So
right.
I really like your question to yourself is, you know, what is the end goal? And is this getting me there, or is it just kind of a nice side alley that I happen to take where the flowers look pretty, but it doesn't really get me back to where I need to be at the end of the day?
Right.
So I really like that.
So on another note, how important is student reflection?
Mm.
And how do we make that reflection meaningful to them?
Yeah, I agree. So not only is self-reflection incredibly important for teachers, which I think everybody should be doing it every day, even if it's 30 seconds, you know, take that time. But I think we really need to make that a valuable part of student learning. I think that as they look at what they're learning, how they're learning, the more that they can sit and say, what am I doing? Where am I missing things? Where are my gaps? What are my strengths? I think it's going to help them grow as students and be more engaged, more invested in their education. So I think it is incredibly important.
So I think even having, like, I did a lesson mm-hmm. on what does it mean to self-reflect.
Yeah,
it's important. Think taking the time, part of something that I want to improve on is taking, well, I actually felt like I improved on this last year. Mm-hmm. That was like my goal last year, was taking the time to teach my expectations, and taking maybe a 40-minute class period
sure.
to teach what it means that I'm asking you to do, instead of trying to throw it in and fit
right.
it in at the end.
Well, and it pays off. You know, you take that 40 minutes on the front end, and yeah, you might be missing a period on Monday, but it's going to serve you throughout the rest of the year if you take
yes.
that time. Because I don't think that kids understand what it means to self-reflect. We say those words, and they just see it as what they tell us. I did good. I finished all the things you asked me to do. And they don't really know how to stop and look at all the pieces of what they did and how they learned. And I think it is another part that they need to actually physically learn how to do. It's not something that they can just pick up a pen and say, okay, yeah, I know how to do this.
Well, and I know something that you and I have both used this year that I just thought about while we're sitting here is Flipgrid.
Oh, yes.
And that is something that now I think is free.
It is. For all educators.
For all educators.
Flipgrid.com.
Yep, Flipgrid.com. It's something that where the students can make a little video. The students that we worked with did a wonderful job. They really liked it. At the end, they can, and the video is short. I mean, you can set it for 30 seconds, 90 seconds.
Up to 5 minutes.
It posts.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do the 5 minutes. It can be short. But instead of basically writing out, for students who maybe are younger or who don't love writing, or just to switch it up.
Yeah.
So instead of writing a summary, have them tell their reflection or tell their summary on a video. They basically are taking a selfie video and then they post it. And then they can see all of their classmates' videos and comment on it. I think that that helped them a lot to learn how to self-reflect. They watched other students' videos to help them see, oh, I didn't look at it that way. Just have a real conversation.
Well, and it's nice and it's more of a safe way for them. So they're speaking in front of their friends, but they're not speaking in front of their friends at the same time because they're recording it. They can go off to a different corner of the room and have that reflection. And like you said, they can look and see what's everybody else doing. And I would say take it even further. I would record my own self-reflection.
Yes.
So that they can see, you know, what kind of verbiage I'm using and how I'm talking and what I'm looking at. I think that would be highly important to do and a nice piece to add.
So speaking of self-reflection, I know that on globaldigitalcitizens.org, there were 10 self-reflection questions that, how did you come across these?
So I try to streamline my life as much as possible and sometimes, you know, I can sit down and I think, okay, this is what I did today and this is how I did it. And I kind of find myself in a loop of asking myself the same one or two questions for my self-reflection. So I like to go out and explore the websites and see what other people are reflecting on. And I kind of stumbled across this. And there was a few, and I'm not going to go over all of them. I will put the link up on our blog that you can pull up to access them. But here's some of them that you could potentially think about each day. Were my students excited to be in class? And if not, what can I do to change this? Now, granted, I know they're not going to come to class excited every single day. It's probably not, you know, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. But you want to start moving in that direction of getting them excited.
I was just going to say, some teachers, and I know I feel this way, like I'm not your entertainer.
Right.
But at the same time, when I'm in a professional development and I'm sitting all day in a professional development, I leave there sometimes going like, that was so good.
Yes.
And I liked that and I learned something from it. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm not running around the room or doing something in that kind of way excited, I felt good about what I did with my time.
Right.
And you can get the idea, like some students will say that they're learning something. I mean, students do want to learn. They want to be there.
Yes, yes. Exactly. No, absolutely.
I agree. So I do think that are they excited? And that doesn't always mean that you have to stand up and being an entertainer.
Right, absolutely. I don't need my pom-poms every day or my clown act out front.
Now, I liked the one, how was my mood with others today and how can I improve it
for teachers
and for students?
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Because, you know, this is where the culture of the school comes from, too. And so this might be one that's just really important for, you know, everybody should be thinking about, you know, how are you treating others in the hallway, even if you're frustrated? You know, and that translates to the students. They look and they see, how are the teachers treating each other? How are they treating support staff? Are they walking down the hall looking like someone shot their dog in front of them, right? Which is terrible. That's I'm really sad that I said that. But so morbid. You know what I'm saying. That's where the culture starts. Like, the kids notice these unspoken things that are happening around them. And so I think if more people would start looking at that as a self-reflective question, that we could, you know, hopefully improve that overall culture of the school. And I like another one that was on that website to think about was, in what ways did my students surprise me most today? And this is a great one. Like, it gets you energized. What did you do, or what did the students do that helped you learn, or that you saw, hey, I made a difference today with this student, and look what they did that I never thought that they could do. And that's really uplifting, I think, and it lifts your spirits and just makes you think about, you know, I'm excited to go back tomorrow, and how can I continue to challenge the student or keep them excited about what they are doing.
Right. And honestly, if we all believe that students can learn at a high level, and that we as teachers, our performance has a direct impact on that, then reflection should really be a part of what we do on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And I think if you're not doing it, and maybe you, it doesn't need to be sit down and write it out, right? I have a 30-minute drive home every night, and that's my time. I sit in my car and I think, okay, what did I do today?
Right.
How did I do it? What can I change? What student do I need to reach tomorrow? Because today they look, you know, like a dumpster fire. And so right. I start really questioning all those things, and I don't necessarily write them down, and I don't have to take a ton of time to think about it, but it helps center me each day and helps me think about my practice, where I need to improve, what my strengths are, and, you know, and so on in that vein. And I think it's just incredibly important to do each day.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that teachers are using research to drive their instruction, their reflection? And if yes, how? And if no, why not?
That's a great question. So, switching gears a little bit, I mean, I know we've kind of done our research with these self-reflective questions, and I think the problem with research, and there was a conversation I actually just had this past week, I think yes and no. I think we do in some capacity, but I don't think that all research is necessarily teacher friendly, which is kind of it's kind of a pitfall, because we have a lot of professors and academics that are doing this research, but they don't always make it as accessible for teachers in a language that that we can all just kind of pull from. And a lot of times it's really lengthy. And so when you go to read it all, you're like, oh, this is so much, I can't handle it. And you kind of scrap it. And
or
then
you're tired.
Yes.
I always am like, I'm going to read this tonight. Yeah. And then I start reading and I start falling asleep.
And my face is on the research. I think that is a pitfall. I think that then we end up just trusting others who have read research and tell us that this is what's the new thing. Like, this is what's good. So go ahead and use it. And so I think that we as teachers do need to be not afraid to question that. And not that we don't, and there's a lot that do, and I'm not saying that everybody doesn't, but I think that sometimes we put some blind trust in others, and we forget because we don't have time. Like you said, we're tired and we're so busy. I think that, you know, start questioning that research and start saying, like, is this really going to have the outcome that it says it does in the study? Or, you know, where do I see some pitfalls that I know my classroom, I know my kids, and maybe this is not going to work for me? So I think it's that balance of, you know, trusting, you know, these people that do these studies, but at the same time, don't be afraid to question them. You know, just because I don't have my doctorate and I don't sit in a university all day doesn't mean that I don't know what's happening in my room and that I don't know what's going to be best for my fifth grade class.
Yes.
And so I think that's really important.
Yes, I do too. And some of the research, and this is kind of what you were saying, is it holding true to what is in our rooms at that moment?
Right.
And I feel like every year is different.
Yes.
Sometimes the strategies that I'm using work great, and the next year that same strategy does not work, and it backfires, and then you need to figure out a new way.
And I think that's what frustrates a lot of teachers is, okay, this is the new thing, and this is going to work for everybody. But we know, as you said, I know my students. I know that this class, yes, it's going to work great for. However, I know my next period class, though, it'll fall apart and it's not going to work. And so you need to be confident in your knowledge as a professional to know what will work, what's not going to work. And if it's not going to work, don't try to make it fit, you know, into your day just because somebody else said it's the next best thing.
Right. There are many new programs I know that come out. Different districts try different things. I would say that we need to take time, and I know time's kind of, for me, the thing that always comes up, but time to learn it. Whatever the program is, whatever the initiative, whatever it is that you are incorporating in your school, in your district, you need to take time to understand the benefits, how it's going to work for your school, how to best use if it's something that has reports or data. Sometimes there's so much data, which is great, but how are we going to use that to improve our school, take it a little bit at a time, perfect what is going to work for us.
Right, and sometimes that's picking it apart too.
Yeah.
Right? So these pieces are working, but these, not sure about. Right? So it might be important to have that conversation as a staff and say, okay, these I see are working in my classroom. What's working in yours? And then look across the different grade levels and have that comparison and talk a little bit more about what do we keep, what do we scrap, you know, if you're allowed. And I understand that a lot of school districts are like, no, you're going to do all of it. But I think that that's when it's important for teachers to come together and be a united front. You know, if there's a small part of that program that's not working, then you need to speak up and say, you know, overall, this program's great. However, this little piece here, we could probably do without, and it's going to save us time, and it's going to make our classrooms better, and let's have a conversation.
Well, I love that my principal did say to me, you know, when I first met him, like, if you're going to come and talk to me, like, come with a solution to the problem. It doesn't mean that the solution will work. And that is something that I kind of took on from him. And now I make sure that if I'm going to complain about something or say that something's not working, I'm going to do some research and think, how can it work better? Or at least, and sometimes he'll look at me and say, yeah, guess what? No, that's still not going to work. And here's why. And then I go, okay, that totally makes sense. And I didn't look at it that way. But then you're having a conversation. You're not coming at someone. You're not complaining. Because I think at the end of the day, if you're really there for the right reasons, it's for the kids.
Right. And I think that's where the focus needs to be.
Because
I highly doubt that you're going to bring to the conversation a suggestion and you're like, well, you know, it's great for the teachers, but whatever for the kids, right? You're not going to do that.
Right.
But I think when you have those conversations, you do need to pose it as, this is what's best for the students. And here are my solutions. And I really appreciate what your principal said. And I think, you know, we're busy. So are principals. Like, they're crazy busy. They're getting it from all the teachers. They're getting it from administration down. And they have to juggle kind of two sides. And the kids, and discipline, and, you know, everything else.
I feel like normally administration will see the logistics of the site. They will see all the pros. But the teachers are the ones going in and using it. And I feel like really learning how the program works, what is best for that school. And for one school, there might be one report or one part of the data that works better than some of the others. So that's really important.
I agree.
On the subject of self-reflection, something that is so important and I think is brought up a lot right now is mental health.
Yes, I agree. And rightfully so, and especially for teachers. So in part of my research, speaking of research, I stumbled across a website called edunators.com, and they have a site, and we'll put up a link to this in our blog as well. They actually have quite a few different blog posts that go along with teacher reflection. And the one that we're talking about today is 30 questions for teacher reflection. And there's, you know, 30 different questions. They're all kind of broken down by topic.
Right.
And the ones that we had looked at and pulled out for today reflected around mental health, because I think what we do as teachers is we get so focused on our classroom and our students that we forget, oh yeah, we should probably take care of ourselves, because we are running ourselves ragged and we're always the last person we think about. And I think that's a problem for teachers, and that's where burnout comes from, and that's where frustration comes from. And we really need to put ourselves front and center sometimes to, you know, get that clarity, that peace of mind, that kind of calmness that you need after, you know, juggling all those different hats and jobs within each day.
Well, and I know my students always tend to let me know when I'm, when they know I'm not having a good day, and they'll say, Mrs. Bowers, are you okay? And I'll be like, why? and then they'll say to me like, well, you just seem off today. Are you seeing, just like how I know when I see students off.
Yes.
And sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it. I might not even be having a bad day, or maybe I'm tired or whatever it is.
Sure.
But one of the questions that they ask in the Edunators website was, what new ideas have I tried in my classroom lately to keep myself energized about teaching?
Sure.
And I think that we all have different lessons that we like more than others, or we find more interesting, and that's great. And those tend to, you know, you might have an activity that you really like doing or you're excited about, but we should really kind of look at how can we get excited about what we're doing. And I think that's the great thing about teaching is that we have that option. We're not sitting at a desk, you know, typing in, like, I can't imagine, I know some people really enjoy doing that, but I can't imagine kind of sitting in a cubicle somewhere typing in information.
No, I did that for years. It's not
like
it's not
I have the opportunity to re-energize myself every day.
Sure.
And I've been focusing so much on that. And this past year was my favorite year of teaching yet.
Oh, that's great.
It was my first year that yes, there are times that you get a little bogged down or, you know, feel overwhelmed.
Sure.
But I felt like I tried new things. I had my students give me a lot of feedback. Nice. I kept it exciting. And there was days that I even did things like play music. Now, this was when, you know, they have to cut something out, which isn't often. But, like, I'm going to play some of my favorite songs while we're doing this.
Right. That's fun.
And but it put me in a good mood for the whole day, and it put them in a good mood.
Yeah,
and
it's important.
It was something small.
Yeah. And it's easy to do. Right?
Yeah. Really easy.
Absolutely.
What's one of the questions that you liked on that list?
I love the one that you had picked out, but I also liked, so talking about like how we get bogged down and how we get kind of exhausted, which, you know, is an understatement. I like the one is, how much time have I spent with my friends and family in the last 2 weeks? Because I joke that sometimes during the school year, it's like I've moved away to a new continent and people don't know where to find me because I just get so enthralled with my work and I get kind of bogged down. I'm taking grad classes, so I have that going on.
Right.
And I forget that it's also equally important to spend time with my friends. I mean, I make family time for obviously every day with all my little people at home.
But your tiny
friends,
humans.
My tiny humans who are super handsome and delicious. Well, one of them is. The other one's super adorable. And then my beautiful older two girls. But I sometimes just don't make enough time to go out with friends.
Right.
And that is important too. You know, sometimes you just need to say, I'm done working and it's time to go out and just relax. We forget to do that.
Well, and I think just kind of creating the balance.
Yeah,
I had
so hard.
One of my friends posted, not work related at all, but posted about you know, she's a mom, she has kids, she works. How am I supposed to have this balance? I feel like something needs to change.
Yes.
And you should have seen how many people then posted positively, but like, man, I feel you, girl. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yes.
And I posted too and said that, you know, we all go through times where we feel like the balance is, I'm like, okay, it feels really good. And you mm-hmm. you might not be consciously thinking yeah. about it, but you know when it doesn't yes. feel good. And you're like, how do I get back to that place?
Mine is generally September through May.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Like the whole school year?
Basically. Whole basically the year. Whole school year. Every well, like holidays sometimes I take a break and I'm like, oh,
I
yeah,
think
remember
too,
how to be a human.
My kids, so I didn't say this in the first episode. I have a six-year-old daughter named Grace. Mm-hmm. She just turned six and she's in kindergarten. Aww. Well, she'll be in first grade.
She's adorable.
She's super cute.
She is.
And spunky. I'm sure you'll hear about her. And then I have a three-year-old little boy. He just turned three in May. Mm-hmm. And he is also spunky. And they'll come up to me, though, and I'm working on something.
Sure.
And they'll say, Mom, like, and he goes, Mommy, I hold you. Mommy, I hold you. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, buddy, I'll be with you in a second. And it's like a half hour later, yeah. Mommy, I hold you.
Yeah.
Mommy, and it's like, okay. So I just have to put it down
yeah.
and go. And it's like, it's hard sometimes to keep that balance.
It is.
Think also talking with your husband or significant other or roommate or whoever
yeah.
can help
sure.
family to say, hey, can you maybe spend some time with the kids while I get some stuff done, or setting aside time
yes.
so that you can be more focused.
Yes, I agree.
And
that's difficult sometimes to do is like
yeah.
think about, okay, so if I do this now, then I can have all this time for friends and family.
Yes.
And, you know, at the end of this time that I set aside for it, even if I'm not done, I'm done. And it's time to move on and make that time, you know, important with your family and time with your friends and just go with that.
And the last question that I wanted to look at was, what things am I currently doing that I could realistically make less of a priority in my profession?
This one I should have tattooed like on my forehead.
On your forehead? That would be
basically
a good...
Basically backwards. Good. So when I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh yes, that's right.
I just feel like there are times that, you know, I'm grading something that does it really need
right.
to be... You know, I'm taking hours and hours to grade something.
Yeah.
Could we do it? Could we go over it in class? Could we self-reflect on it? Could we, you know...
Can I make it digital and it grades itself?
Can, right.
Yes.
Right. Can I downsize a project? I know that 1 year, and this was a few years ago, I had them do like three postcards and they were going around the United States and they had to write from the region that they were in.
Sure.
Well, I downsized it the next year to writing one. Like, why do
right.
I need, why do I have
necessity.
To have you
right.
write three? It took so much time. It took me triple the time to grade.
Yeah.
And it also took a lot of time out of class that I don't really think was necessary.
Right. And that kind of comes back to our first point too, is was it valuable? And if it's not, why are we still doing it? And that's
right.
that self-reflective piece of coming back and saying, you know, this took me a long time. And if it was valuable and they learned so much, yeah, sure, keep it. But if it is just to check boxes and say, oh, I kept them working and I kept them writing for 40 minutes, but it held no real outcome value, maybe it's time to figure something else out and scrap it at that point.
So... looking at our quote for today's episode, time really does fly. So how do we find the time to actually self-reflect? And after having some summer reflection, what are some goals for your classroom this year?
It's a great question. So we talked a little bit about that time piece, and my suggestion, and I know some people do it different ways. I have some friends that get up and do meditation in the morning, and they set aside a few questions just to self-reflect on during that quiet time. I would love to do that. I gotta be better as a morning person. However, that's, you know, a life goal. My time is in my car ride. When I am driving home, I hop in that car. It is fresh off my day and I can sit and think about all the things that have happened. And like I said, I have a 30-minute ride. It gives me, and I don't use the whole time always, but it gives me that time of quiet. There's nobody else in there and I can reflect. Other people, it might be, hey, right before I go to bed, I'm going to make either jot down some notes or I'm just going to think about it. And having that time so that when you get up in the morning and you're heading into work, you've already kind of have a game plan in your brain of what you want to do that day. So I think there's, you know, it can look different for different people, and what works for you might not work for somebody else, but you got to find that time. As far as my goals of after reflecting this summer and really thinking about what I want to do, my biggest goal is to be lesson planning for, I teach math and science, and mainly science. I teach four blocks of science and one block of math. But I really want my science to, it's ever evolving, but I want this time, I want to add in this year, all the stuff they're doing in language arts. So I want to try to filter that into my science as well so that it's really connected. What they're doing in math at that time, can I fit it into my science so that it makes sense? And I'm not going to hit everything that they're doing in language arts, and I'm not going to hit everything they're doing in math, but I want kids to start seeing that life is not, you know, departments, right? So here's science, you're going to science, but you'll never use anything you learned in any other subject. I want them to see that whole connection piece, and I want it to make sense, and, you know, and I hope that it helps the other teachers with what they're teaching, and that they do better because of it, you know. So that's my goal. That's what I've been kind of reflecting on over the last few months. How about you?
Well, I think that I like how you said about making it cross-curricular, mm-hmm. helping each other out. I think it will also help with communicating with the other teachers about what they're doing, and even helping each other out to get in, to fit in some of the things that maybe they don't have time. Oh, can you can do this reading in your class, and then I can, you know, continue with it in mine, which would be really great. Something that this year I'm going to be teaching, I'm going to be one of the reading teachers. And normally in past years, we did language arts, meaning that I wasn't just reading. We taught reading, writing, and we also taught grammar. So to fit all that in, sometimes I'd focus on just writing for the week. Sometimes I would do reading, and it was hard to kind of, every year I'm like, okay, I'm going to do better at grammar this year and fitting that in. And then it would kind of just get shoved to the side.
As it does sometimes.
So this year I want to really create a structure of the week.
Nice.
So that they know that maybe on Mondays we're going to be doing something about with this skill. Or on Fridays, we even thought about creating some kind of t-shirt for the students and doing some kind of reward every Friday. Just like the last five minutes of like a student who really stood out, and just giving them a little bit of that empowerment. And it doesn't necessarily have to be so specific.
Right.
Like the teacher's picking it for whatever reason. Maybe they just really took a leadership role that week and I was really proud of them.
And that's nice to be able to kind of pick out those students that might just need an extra boost.
Yeah.
And they might not have even, you know, they might not have shown that week, but you can see in them, like, they need a pick me up. So here's a super easy way to do that. And, you know, that might just help get them motivated for the next week when they come in, and they can just say, hey, you know, someone cares about me, and I'm going to give a little bit more effort this week. So I think that's a really cool, fun idea. And we're going to be talking actually next month with our next podcast. We'll be talking about relationships. So maybe we can talk a little bit more about that and some other ideas of building relationships, because it's so incredibly important.
I think with some of the takeaways of today and reflecting, we're going to share some books and some summer reading suggestions or summer maybe other blogs to check out or podcasts that you think would be great. So make sure to check out our blog for that, because I know that for me, sometimes reading itself can be more time consuming than when in the car, I've been playing them on Audible.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
And I seriously love, I get in my car and I used to not enjoy the car ride.
Right.
And now I get in and I'm like, oh, I get to listen to the next chapter. I find myself sitting in the car finishing the chapter. But I've read in my quote unquote.
She's air quoting.
Yes, I am. But I've read so many more books
Right.
because of the Audible app. Right. Which has been really great.
It makes life a little bit easier because we don't always have time to sit down and just read. I've been fortunate. Like I said, I'm reading Katie Martin's book right now, and I'll go out and sit on my back deck and have a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, and I just sit down and really enjoy it. But we are going to put up, I have a stack of books right now sitting on my side table by my bed. And I'm going to write down some of those suggestions for summer reading, you know, with what's left of your summer. And Amber B is also going to do that. And you'll be able to find it, again, on our blog on aaforteachers.com. So definitely check that out. And if you're in the market for some new books or to get some innovation or inspiration, rather, that might be a good place for you to find that.
Awesome. Now, we just always like to end with a little funny story of our week or our month. So this past weekend, we always go to the river and we go boating and do lots of fun stuff. I love the water. And there were some friends of family members that were from Germany. So my daughter Grace was looking at a craft that they brought, and the craft was from Germany. So it was written in German, and she's just learning how to read, and she was trying to sound it out. And I was explaining to her, like, sweetheart, that's going to be hard to read. And she said, well, why? And she started asking questions, and she said, well, it's the same alphabet. And I said, well, it's in German. And she goes, oh, so they don't have an alphabet.
Aww.
And I said, no, they do have an alphabet, but the sounds may be different than our sounds. And she's like, oh, I see. They're just using like lowercase letters.
So cute.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So it was just, it was cute, and it was fun to see her thought process on other languages.
Yeah.
She's just learning that not everyone speaks English.
Sure.
And trying to understand why and how.
Right.
So she finds it very interesting.
Sure.
So that was kind of my little story. The children actually who lived in Germany, they go to an international school. And it was something that really fascinated me because I asked them a lot of questions too. But they speak, so everybody who goes to the international school within their area, they all speak English.
Wow.
So that when people move there for maybe they're being stationed or whatnot, and then there's only a certain percentage of Germany that can go to the international, are actual Germans that can go to that school. So they just seem to be so worldly.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, you know, they're 10, 13, 17, and they just, I just think have
it's
such a good idea of culture and what's around the world that at my age, I wouldn't have known that.
And I think that's where we kind of lack somewhat, and this is probably just my opinion, and so you may agree or disagree, but I think that, you know, in America, we kind of lack that. There's a lot of countries that speak more than one language, and I think it's so beneficial for so many reasons, and there's tons of studies that, you know, support that, but I wish that we valued that a little bit more, you know, in our culture, to learn, you know, and I don't care what language it is. I think if you learn outside of just English and learn that more, you know, another language, it just really opens up what your possibilities are, and it opens up your way of learning. And I just think there's a lot of benefits to it.
Yeah,
So that's interesting to hear. So my story is just ridiculous. So my cousin got married this weekend, and we went down to Delaware, and we had the greatest time. It was probably the greatest wedding I've ever been in. It was insane.
Love it.
It was crazy. So it was in a contemporary art museum, and it was very non-traditional. And so she was getting married. They did the wedding, and then they had a roast. So, you know, they were making fun of the couple. And the one girl got up, and she was talking about playing softball with the bride, and she was saying, like, she's like, we're out there. And I wish I will do this no justice, because her delivery, she should be a stand-up comedian. I'm not kidding. She was talking about how they were out in the outfield, and she's like, you know, Jess ran like a deer, and she caught this ball that she never thought she would catch, and she's laying there in the field, and she walks over to her, and she's like, oh my gosh, you caught this ball. It was amazing. And, you know, Jess looks up at her and's like, yeah, but I peed my pants. because oh, when she landed, she literally peed her pants. And I mean, I was howling story. Like, and I just, like, in that moment, I just haven't laughed that hard in a while. And I thought, man, it just felt good to have that joy and and that was kind of my self-reflection too piece that I added into today is just, I was so thankful that I took that time to drive to Delaware, to enjoy all these people, new friends, new experiences, and just really have a good laugh. And it was so important.
I think when you have those kinds of laughs where you literally are like crying and laughing so hard, because any more that as you get older, they happen less.
It's sad.
It is sad because I know my daughter does it on a daily basis, and then it makes me laugh.
Right.
But it does feel so good to have those laughs. You almost like think about it and laugh when you're thinking about it.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our second podcast. And what to expect in this next episode is starting the school year strong by building relationships. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate your comments and suggestions. I know that some of you have reached out to us, and that just makes us so excited that you're listening and that we, you know, are connecting. And hopefully we can continue to build these relationships and help support each other along the way.
Yeah, I agree. And so make sure, like we said, check out our website. It's aaforteachers.com. There's a lot of stuff happening on there. We're adding new stuff, you know, each week and trying to really build that up as a kind of conversation starter and a place to find the things that we're talking about here on the podcast. You can always find us on Twitter. I'm at Amber at the Shift, all one word. And Amber B, she's at Mrs. Bowers EDU.
That is correct.
All right. Very good. So find us, you know, send us your thoughts, any comments, any suggestions, any topics you would like to hear us talk about. We would absolutely love to hear from you. So hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you the next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.